أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, we are at Surah number 87 of the Quran, Surah Al-A'la. And subhanAllah, this is one of those favorite surahs of the Prophet ﷺ. So I'm really excited to cover this surah today, because as you know, this is the surah that he used to recite pretty much every Jumu'ah, right? Along with Surah Al-Ghashiyah. And at the same time, this is the surah that he would recite during his Shaf'an Witr prayers, right? He would recite this surah. And also, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, the beginning of the surah, is what resulted in us doing sujood with that. So what do we say in sujood? سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. So it is an answer to the command that was given to the Prophet ﷺ through the surah. So it's a very, very special surah and very, very powerful message. It's actually a summary of the entire deen. MashaAllah, the party started upstairs. MashaAllah. Okay, so this is a Mekki surah again, as the tradition is still going in Juz' Amma primarily. What is the overall theme? Meccan period, you know, basics. Belief in Allah, belief in the prophethood, and belief in the Day of Judgment. That's the overall theme. And so it's 19 ayat. And so we'll try to wrap up within an hour, bi'idhnillah, inshallah. So this is one of those surahs that's called the Musabbihat. There are several surahs in the Quran that start with Sabbaha, Yusabbihu, Subhanalladhi. In this case, Sabbih. You know, so different. There's either in the past tense, Sabbaha, or Yusabbihu in the present and future tense, or Subhanalladhi Asra bi'abdihi, right? In the noun form, and this in this surah, it's in the command form, Sabbih. Okay? And like we do in every surah, we cover the basic layout of the surah before we get into right into it. So the basic layout of the surah is split into three parts. Okay? Part one will primarily talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? The tasbih part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's going to be the subject matter of the first part of the surah. The second part of the surah will focus on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran. Okay, this is going to be the second part. And the third part will be a reminder about the Day of Judgment. What was the Prophet's message? What was his mission and the Day of Judgment? Okay, that's going to be the latter part of the surah. So three parts. Who can remind me? What's part one? Belief in Allah, right? Part two was? Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ's risala, his message, and the Quran. And then the last part will be Day of Judgment, okay? Priority of dunya over akhirah. And we'll look at that, inshallah. So let's get right into it. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet ﷺ to do tasbih. سبح. What does سبح mean? Very simply, it means declaring the perfection of your master. Okay, declaring the perfection of Allah. And sabbih in the Arabic language also means to swim, right? To float and swim. And so the picture that's been drawn here of someone, imagine that you're swimming in a swimming pool. What happens if you stop swimming? You drown, right? So similarly, Allah is saying that if we stop doing tasbih of Allah, then spiritually we are also drowning, we're also dying spiritually. So to stay spiritually alive, we need to constantly do tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Constantly declare His perfection. And that is what the entire creation is doing. The stars are doing tasbih, the birds are doing tasbih, the mountains are doing tasbih. Everything around us is doing tasbih. So Allah is questioning us, if everything around you is doing tasbih, how come you're not doing tasbih? You are the ashraf al-makhluqat, صح? The human being is the most noble of all creation. How come everything is doing tasbih except you? So Allah is commanding the Prophet, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. And you know, in the previous surah, we learned that Allah commanded the Rasul to do something. فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. Give them some chance. Give them some extra time. مَهِّل. Why did Allah tell him to do مَهِّل? Because they were planning evil plots against the Muslims, صح? The Quraysh were planning evil plots, and the Prophet ﷺ said, don't worry about them. Give them some time. I've already gotten things under control. I've taken care of things. It's just a matter of time, and things will sort out. So here, Allah is saying, سَبِّح. Just a few ayat ago, the previous surah, مَهِّل. Give them some time. Give them some I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. It's as if Allah is saying, don't be busy with the evil plots of the enemies. Get busy with what? With tasbih. That's what you should be focused on. Don't worry about them. I'll take care of them. So that's the message here. And subhanAllah, you know when we say subhana rabbi al-a'la in our salah, where are we in terms of our position or our posture? Where are we? We're at the lowest possible position, right? Where you're, the most precious part of our body, which is the face, is on the filthiest part of earth, which is the ground, right? And so it's so ironic that we actually say the complete opposite, right? We're in the lowest point possible, but we're saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So there's a contrast being drawn between the master and the slave. Because notice, which name did Allah use in this ayah? Sabbih isma Rabbik. Declare the perfection of your master. Okay, which is an important name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learned this in Surah Al-Fatiha also. Remember back then? That this is the primary name that we should, you know, remember our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The relationship of master versus slave. And so when you are in the lowest position in sujood, you say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Ya Allah, I am in the lowest of low because that's my role. I'm your slave. I'm nothing. And at the same time, the lower I am, what happens? The higher, what? The lower I am, the higher Allah is. Right? There's a contrast. And you know how like when you're in a helicopter, has anyone sat in a helicopter or a plane or whatever? The higher up the plane goes, what happens to the view below? The houses get smaller and smaller. The human being gets smaller and smaller and smaller until he's a piece of ant, he's nothing, right? And so the higher we declare Allah's perfection, the more insignificant we see that we are ourselves. So what happens to our ego and our arrogance when we do tasbih? It goes away, right? Which is that a good thing or a bad thing? Of course it's a good thing. We need to lower our ego because ego is from the shaitan, right? That was what got him kicked out of Jannah. And so humble yourself. And so we're also here reminded of the name Rabbik. Let's just do a quick refresher here on the, you know, why Allah mentioned the name Rabb. Because this is primarily the name that defines our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the first name that Allah mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Iqra' bismi Rabbik. Ya Musa, inni ana Rabbuk. Fakhla'na alayk. So even Isa alayhi salam, when he was born, he declared that he is Abdullah, the title of the slave. So in the worldly sense, slave is a very, you know, in Arabic it's called isti'bad, which means you're like basically nothing, worth nothing. Okay, back in the days of slavery, they used to own slaves. And so it's a very humiliating title to have. But Allah is saying, this title of Abd is the highest title I'll give you. It's the highest title. It's the most honorable title. And you know, we live in times when, unfortunately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, they're not doing tasbih of Him. And we see this in Hollywood a lot, with movies that come out. Just to give you an idea of, like, for example, Independence Day. Anyone seen Independence Day? Yeah? So, like, an external force coming from up in the sky. And that force seems to be what? Evil, it wants to take over the world, it wants you to follow the rules. And so what do human beings do? They panic, and they don't like this external force from above the sky is coming and invading them. So what do? They stand together and they fight for their freedom, and eventually they succeed in defeating that external force. They succeed in gaining their freedom. Which is actually subliminal messages, right, in these movies. What is technically being said to us in the unconscious mind, that we don't want a higher authority to come and interfere in our lives. We want to chill, we want to party, we want to enjoy life, we want to be free. We don't want higher authority. And guess what? Human beings have the power to overcome that external threat. You see? And this keeps happening over and over again. Look at the movies with tsunamis, right? External threat is coming. Human beings stand together, the hero and the heroine somehow manage to overcome the storm. They're the only ones who survive. And then they save life on earth. Similarly, like storms coming, whatever it is, like all these movies that keep coming up, you know? And so we got to be careful. I'm not saying movies are haram, by the way. But I'm just saying We have to be more aware of what message they're giving to us and our children. You know, this is what's really happening. And we've seen this in cartoons also, where God and prophets are ridiculed. You know, it's become a joke. You know, but that's not tasbih. Tasbih means, you know, Allah is above all of this. And with tasbih comes respect. With tasbih comes respect. You got to watch what you say, right? At the same time, with respect comes love also. Because here Allah said, Rabbik, your master. In Surah Al-Fatiha, what do we say? Alhamdulillahi, Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of all the nations. But here we're saying, Allah is telling the Prophet, declare the perfection of your master. Now what's the difference? It's a very subtle point here. Allah is saying, I'm close to you. I am your master. And in sujood, what do we say? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Have you ever paid attention to that? Subhana Rabbi. I declare the perfection of my master. Not the master of the worlds. My master. So that what is that my doing? It's bringing us closer to our master. The abd is getting closer to the master, and therefore there's an intimate love relationship there. And we learned this from the previous surahs where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced the name Al-Wadud, right? وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدُ. Notice the contrast? He loves you and yet he is ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدُ. And so this is another tragedy of our times where, you know, very rarely do we talk about loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We constantly talk about obeying Allah and obeying the law and halal and haram. But where are the khutbahs where we talk about the love of Allah? And don't we need this in times where, you know, people have become merciless and people have become so dry and harsh and the akhlaq and the, you know, the manners and morals have disappeared. We're living in these times, right? So we need to instill the love of Allah in our hearts. And so what's the best way to instill the love of Allah in our hearts? Is through His beautiful names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us His beautiful names, one of which is Ar-Rabb. And if we only pondered upon them, these names, this would introduce us to who Allah is. And when you really think deeply about who Allah is, what's going to naturally happen? You're going to love Him. You can't help but love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you know Him through His beautiful names. And so we need to bring these names out and study them and understand them. What does Ar-Rabb mean? What does Ar-Rahman mean? What does Ar-Rahim mean? That's how you know Allah. Is it possible to love someone you don't know? Like imagine you're getting married to this woman who you don't even know who she is. Is it going to be fun? The marriage? The honeymoon? I don't know. In arranged marriages, that happens. Good luck with that. But you got to know somebody before you love them. That's basics, right? So how can we love Allah if we don't even know Allah? So how to know Allah? Through His beautiful names. So is that clear? So, another just last thing about respecting Allah, right? Because sometimes in our discussions with friends and buddies, we sometimes go overboard without even noticing, right? So, just for you to get, so for example, a very simple concept. We see and Allah sees, right? Now, how do we distinguish between our sight and Allah's sight? How do we draw the line and where's the respect given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we compare? I'll give you a very easy way of distinguishing with three criteria, okay? The difference between our capabilities and our ability to see, that's just an example, versus Allah's capability to see. So number one, our sight has a beginning and an end, right? Before I was born, there was no sight. We couldn't see. And when I die, my sight finishes with my death, correct? What about Allah's sight? It has no beginning and it has no end. So that's the first criteria, remember that. And this applies to all other characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, I'm just giving you sight as an example. This applies to hearing and other things also. So number one, no beginning, no end to Allah's qualities. Whereas we human beings, we have qualities, but they have a beginning and an end. Point number two, our qualities are limited. So my eyesight is limited. There's a certain point beyond which I won't be able to see. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability to see has no limits. It's infinite. You know, it doesn't decrease with distance or... So you get the second point? What was the first point? I forgot. No beginning, no end. Point number two, limitless or infinity. And the third one is ownership. So I can see, but who gave me the ability to see? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about Allah's ability to see? He owns it. You see the difference? So ownership, okay? I have been gifted with these eyes, but Allah, He has the ownership of this. So these three will easily help you, inshallah, distinguish between what Allah can do and what we can do. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. We're going on to the next ayah now. The one who created and proportioned us. Created us in complete balance. Okay, خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. Now, earlier we learned about the name Al-Rabb. Now we're learning about the name Al-Khaliq. Now, logically, you'd think Khaliq should come first, the creator. But why did Allah put Al-Rabb before Al-Khaliq? It's a very important point. Did Quraysh believe in Al-Khaliq? Did they believe that Allah was their creator? Yes, they did. Okay. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. If you ask them, Quraysh, who created the heavens and the earth, they would say what? Allah. So they believed in Allah being Al-Khaliq. However, they were still classified as disbelievers. Why? Because they rejected the name Ar-Rahman. Why? Because Ar-Rahman comes with responsibility. Or sorry, not Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rabb. They rejected the name Ar-Rabb. Why? Because Ar-Rabb comes with responsibility. Ar-Rabb comes with accountability. Ar-Rabb comes with authority. Remember? Al-Malik, Al-Mun'im, Al-Sayyid, all these names of Ar-Rabb. Comes with authority. Therefore, Quraysh didn't want this name. They wanted to enjoy their life. They wanted to enjoy the status that Quraysh had. Yes, so Khaliq has no implication on the relationship between the creator and creation, right? But Rabb does. And this name, they couldn't swallow it. And therefore, they rejected the entire message of the Prophet ﷺ because it was invading their, you know, their control and their reign over the city. They didn't want another Rabb coming and taking over. That's why Fir'aun got threatened also, right? Why did Fir'aun say, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى? I am your master. He used to say this to his people of Bani Israel as he enslaved them. Why? Because he didn't want another master to have power over him. So it's an ego issue at the end of the day. And so Allah emphasizes this by saying, Rabb first, Khaliq second. سَبِّحِ اسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَىٰ الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّىٰ. And فَسَوَّىٰ, we learned from this earlier also, that الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. Remember, we covered this. سَوَّىٰ from تَسْوِيَةِ. He made you in perfect proportion, your the size of your nose. A lot of people aren't happy with that. They're not happy with the way they look, the way they, you know, their bodies, and the way they their ears look, or, you know. And some people even like, this doesn't mean that you get satisfied with your big belly, by the way. If you have a big belly, don't say, Alhamdulillah, fasawaka, Allah made me like this, yani. So please, yani. That belly is because of your samosas and jalebis and pakoras, right? So, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. It's beautiful. And the one who قَدَّرَ means from destiny or planning, right? So Allah has this grand plan for us. Everything that's happening to us is according to a grand plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why belief in Qadr is one of the pillars of our iman, right? There's six pillars of iman, right? Belief in Allah, belief in the messengers, belief in the angels, belief in the day of judgment, belief in, what else? Books. And last but not least, belief in the day of, or destiny and fate, whether it's good or bad. This is from Allah, it's a plan. And so, الَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. The one who planned and then perfectly executed his plan. فَهَدَى, from guidance, right? He executed his plan. So just like, you know, when you build a house, you have this master plan. It's a very detailed master plan, right? And when you plan well, what kind of results do you get when you execute the plan? Excellent results, right? So similarly, Allah is saying, he planned. And in one hadith, we learned that the plan happened more than 50,000 years ago. All the plan of life and existence and humanity. Everything was planned 50,000 years ago before the creation of Adam and before the creation of everything. And so Allah is saying, قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. He has planned carefully, detailed planning, and He's executed perfectly. So we have to trust Allah's qadr. That doesn't mean you become lazy and you become you know, someone who just sits there and eats popcorn and thinks that things will change. No, 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 you got to work. And قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى also applies to the human being when he's created. Who teaches the small baby to latch on to the mother's milk? Who teaches the baby to suck on the milk of the mother? Did the mother, like, give a class, breastfeeding 101 to the child? This is how you suck? No, subhanAllah. قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Who teaches the baby bird to fly? الَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. You get this now? So he guides. He has a plan and he executes the plan. And قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى also means in terms of guidance. Every single one of us, let's ask ourselves. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I had times where I was away from guidance. Big time, right? 180 degrees. But then who had a plan for guidance to come and for me to like start praying and to start reading Quran and to start learning about my deen? Who had this plan? الَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. So every single one of you, this ayah relates to you. Each one of you has a unique story of how Allah, through His amazing plan, got you to be guided. Who, through His amazing plan, even فَهَدَاكُمْ to this place today? How many people wanted to come to this dars but couldn't make it? So it was Allah's plan that you were chosen to be here today. Those watching us on video, it was Allah's plan to have you watch us on YouTube. There's millions of others who are watching other stuff, other junk, other useless things. But Allah guided you to watch this. So you see, this is the name Al-Hadi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who guides. It's a beautiful name, okay? And it makes you appreciate Allah's plan and how, you know, sometimes we forget, we take things for granted. Allah's reminding us, it is part of His plan. وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. And the one who brings out the mar'a, which is from ra'i, which is a shepherd. Mar'a is what the sheep eat, the pasture, okay? The grass and all the plants and the green life that comes out of earth. وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. Who brought these plants out and this pasture out for the sheep? Who? Allah, صح? And so, you know how like our moms, they prepare our meals for us? She puts the plate there and the drink and the haris and the thareed and the samosas and everything. Why does the mother do this? Out of love and care for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us His love and care for even animals. It's as if Allah is preparing the meal for the animals by bringing al-mar'a out. You see how beautiful this is? وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. And then right after that, فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. He returned it, He made it غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. Something that's rotten, something that's piled up. Okay, so this is basically fast forward. What happens to the grass? By the time it's dead, it's useless, it's worth nothing. غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. Allah's saying, He brings it to life and He will bring it to rotten, piled up stuff. Which is illustrating to us what? The shortness of life. How short this life will be. You'll be born and you'll be dead in your grave. And you'll be resurrected on the Day of Judgment. That's what Allah's, you know, kind of hinting to through this, to the life of plants and pasture. Okay? الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. So life is short. That's what's being alluded here. And then Allah addresses the Prophet ﷺ. So we're done with Allah now. Remember the first section was about Allah. Now second section about who? About Risala, prophethood, right? So Allah now is talking to the Prophet ﷺ and He says, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. Now this is very interesting. We will make you read, we will make you recite, O Prophet, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. You will not forget. Now what's going on here? The Prophet ﷺ, he has a very grand mission. And it's unlike any other mission of any other prophet in the past. Because prophets of the past were sent to specific nations with a specific message, correct? The Prophet ﷺ, Muhammad ﷺ, he was sent to humanity. And all other previous prophets, their mission was, they knew that there was going to be another messenger coming after us. So for them, the burden of the message wasn't really that great. You guys understand what I'm saying? But for the Prophet ﷺ, he knew that there was going to be no more prophet after him. There will be no more Quran. After the Quran, there's no other book. no prophet coming after the Rasul, no book coming after the Prophet. And therefore, there is more burden on the Prophet because he has to live up to this message. He has a big mission. And part of this mission is to preserve these ayat that are being recited onto him through Jibreel alayhi salam. He wants to preserve it and make sure that he doesn't forget it. He's panicking. And so this was one of the things that would bother and concern the Prophet ﷺ, that what if I forget an ayah, man? It's a big responsibility. It's my duty. I can't forget an ayah. And by the way, the Quran was revealed over 23 years. And it wasn't revealed surah by surah. What was happening? Ayah by ayah and multiple ayat from different surahs being revealed, and Baqarah took like 12 years to be revealed. So while Baqarah was being revealed, other surahs are being revealed. So it's like a big mess and a big mix of ayat from different places. And so imagine what the Prophet ﷺ was going through. He didn't have an Excel sheet where he would like, okay, this goes to Baqarah, this goes to Al-Imran, this goes to Al-Ma'idah. He didn't have that. Where was all this happening? Where was all this organizing happening? In the heart of the Prophet, because he couldn't even read or write. And so it was a big burden. So what is Allah telling the Prophet ﷺ? Relax. Chill. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. The responsibility of making you recite and not forget, I'll take care of it. Because he just said, الَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. There is a plan. Okay, there is a plan. And subhanAllah, what's ironic is the first ayah, you know, when Jibreel first told the Prophet ﷺ, read, what did he say? مَا أَنَا بِقَارِئ. I don't know how to read. So he repeated again, read, 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 until he said, اقرأ باسم ربك. When you read with the name of your master, then what happens? Then everything becomes easy. And what was the beginning of the surah? سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. See how it's all connected? So don't worry about it, relax. I will make sure that this content is preserved. And you know, a very easy example of this is a student. You know, when a teacher is discussing what's coming in the exam, what's the student busy doing? Taking notes, right? This is going to come, this is going to come. And you make sure you write every single word the teacher says. But while you're writing, what could happen? You could miss out on an important point. This is called multitasking. That's why multitasking is dangerous, right? You try to do two things at once, you're going to mess up somewhere. And so here, Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ, don't take the burden of memorizing. Okay, you just do tasbih. Focus on tasbih. I will take care, I will make sure all of this stuff is memorized in your heart. It's going to be preserved, it's going to be organized perfectly. You don't have to worry about that. Don't burden yourself. And then Allah says, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Earlier Allah said, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. You will not forget. Now He's saying here, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Accept what Allah wills. And so through this we learn that there were certain things that were revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, but he was made to forget them. Why? Because of, you know, the circumstance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that the situation demanded that khalas, this be forgotten. And so Allah says, illa ma sha Allah. This is where a whole new science of Quran started, which is called al-nasikh wal-mansukh. That which is, you know, it's called abrogation. Okay, I don't want to confuse you with that stuff. It's a totally different field. But basically, in simple terms, this is a science where certain ayat were revealed and then removed or replaced with other better ayat because of situations. So just to give an example of like the prohibition of alcohol, right? In one place you see, don't drink while you pray, right? But can we apply that ayah today? No, because it was abrogated. It was replaced with another ayah that came later on during the time of Medina, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said basically to leave it. It's rijs, it is from the acts of shaitan, it is impure, to leave it. And so just like that, Allah here is saying, there's some things that we will make you forget, and that will be intention. That will be part of the grand plan. الَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Okay, you gotta respect that. And don't you have doubts. Don't you have doubts that, maybe the Qur'an today is different than the Qur'an there. Maybe one ayah got missed here and there. What did we learn from the beginning of the surah? Sabbih. Declare the perfection of your master. Don't have any doubt in his perfection. Part of his perfection is his promise to preserve this book. So don't let shaitan come with doubts in your mind. Okay? And so, إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. He verily knows what is fil jahr, which is out loud, and wama akhfa, what you hide. We learned about this in the previous surah, didn't we? Right? The secrets of the human being. What he is on the outside versus what he is on the inside. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the previous surah, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. On that day, the secrets will come out. So here Allah is emphasizing that He knows what's on the outside versus what's on the inside. Very important. What are people more concerned about nowadays? Outside or inside? Outside, right? Al-Zahir only. How I look like, well, how long my beard is, how short is my thobe, how, my abaya, my hijab, this, that, all external stuff. But what's going really inside the heart? This is where the real deal is, right? And this is what Allah will look at. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day, your family, your children, your money, none of it will matter except what? Whoever comes to me with a clean and sound and peaceful heart. بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. And so, then Allah says, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. This is really a profound ayah. And we will ease you towards ease. It's a strange sentence, right? We will ease you towards ease. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. And what's interesting here is that in the Arabic language, the proper way to say this is وَنُيَسِّرُ لَكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. But Allah omitted the word لَكَ here, and He brought وَنُيَسِّرُكَ closer by eliminating the لَكَ, which is called تَقْرِيب. Okay? And تَقْرِيب is done in the Quran for words to emphasize closeness. And closeness means what? Love. Okay? So here Allah again is explaining to us His love for His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. Because earlier we just learned that the Prophet was panicking. He was burdened, right? He was concerned. How this big mission. Allah is saying, I'm going to make it easy for you, Ya Rasulullah. Your mission. So two things Allah is going to make easy. Number one, memorizing the Quran and preserving it in the heart and making sure it stays there. And number two, His mission. These were the two concerns, right? His mission. How is He going to spread this message? And this is the message for humanity. And will they get it or no? Will they be guided or no? Allah keeps telling the Prophet in the Quran, relax, relax, relax. Your job is just to do your mission. My job is to guide. Don't burden yourself. And so here we're learning, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. And yusra means ultimate ease. It's a superlative form of taysir. Yusra, ultimate ease we will make you. We will make your mission extremely easy. And so here we're learning also a very profound lesson that our deen is supposed to be easy. What have we made it? We've made it hard, right? What have we been taught? That Islam is hard, it's difficult, and complicated. We've complicated things so much. Allah is saying, when you yassiruka lil-yusra, this message is easy, and it's extremely, ultimately easy. But we have complicated things, unfortunately. And subhanAllah, by the end of the surah, you will realize how simple this deen is. So simple. Like one sentence will summarize the entire deen for us, okay? But I leave it as suspense. I won't give it away right now. So that you stay till the end and don't run away, okay? So Allah is saying here, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. And I just wanted to mention very quickly here, it's a tangent, but very important tangent about the maqasid al-shari'ah. You know how they say sharia and sharia law and halal haram, it's complicated, and this deen, and even the West is kind of accusing the deen of being, messed up and stuff. So what is what maqasid means? They teach this stuff in usul al-fiqh, the fundamentals of understanding the deen. What is maqasid? Maqasid means the objective of sharia. So there's five areas where Islam benefits us and protects us. Sharia is for our benefit. It's not there to burden us, it's there to make our life what? Easy. So there's five areas where Allah makes our life easy through sharia. And I want you all to memorize them and repeat them after me. Area number one is our deen. Allah wants to protect our deen. Okay? That's why He asked us to pray and fast and all these ibadat that come with that. And dealing with our relationships with others Okay, حقوق الله and حقوق العباد, it's called. This is preserving what? The first one? Deen. Second one, preserving your mind. What did Allah ask us to do? Stay away from things that pollute your mind, right? That's why alcohol is prohibited. Why? Because it blocks the mind. So everything that Allah through that distracts the mind and that pollutes the mind, like drugs and all these kind of stuff, that's why Allah made it haram. Allah didn't make it haram just because it's haram. No, there's a reason behind. What's the reason? To keep our mind protected and sane. And then the third point. So what was first point? I forgot. Deen, protecting the deen. Two, the mind. Number three, the nafs, the life. And therefore, things like qisas, you know. If someone kills someone, then there's qisas. You basically apply justice by doing the same to the killer if it's done on purpose and unjustfully, right? Why? To protect life. Allah says in the Quran that in qisas there is haya. There is life in qisas. In taking another's life, you know, one life or another, there is haya. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ. Okay? And so the third, and by the way, part of protecting the nafs or life is also food. Why did Allah prohibit pork? Because it's harmful for the life, right? And He made so many things halal at the same time. He made so many drinks halal for us. Why? This is all part of protection and benefiting life. So first one was what? Deen. Second one? Mind. Third one? Nafs or life. Okay? Third one is wealth. Why was riba prohibited? Why was stealing prohibited? Why was mutaffifin, the whole surah, tatfif and cheating and stealing and chopping off the hands and all these rules? Why are they there? To preserve and protect what? Wealth, which is a fundamental part of our life, isn't it? Yes? Okay? And on the contrary, He has made tijara and trade and working and employment. He has made all of this halal. So, to summarize again, deen, number two, mind, number three, nafs, number four, wealth, and last but not least, lineage, nasl, lineage. Okay, so that's why He's made marriage halal, right? Alhamdulillah, it's not haram. Otherwise, big problem. So through marriage come children and preservation of lineage. And that's why, on the contrary, He has prohibited zina and other things and cheating on your wife. And the punishments are so harsh. Why? To protect the lineage. You see how beautiful our deen is? Let's do a quick summary. Preservation of deen, mind, nafs, wealth, and lineage. Okay, so that's maqasid al-sharia. Everything, every rule that's there in the Quran, halal, haram, it's all for our benefit. So let's move on to the mission now. Now Allah's going to tell the Prophet ﷺ what your mission is. Fadhakkir. One word. That's the mission. You'd expect like a complicated paragraph on, you know, mission statement and vision and objectives, just like we do, you know, on our websites and our profiles. One word mission, fadhakkir. That's it. And remind. And so here we're learning another profound lesson. Through this, we are learning that the Prophet's entire life was two words. Sabbih, dhakkir. That's his life. At night, what would he do? Sabbih. During the day, dhakkir. Dhakkir was to remind people. And as he reminded people, what would happen? People would ridicule him. People would make fun of him. People would accuse him, try to kill him even. So he'd feel bad, right? And upset and down and depressed. So what would you do at night? Sabbih. And when you make tasbih, what happens to you? Spiritually, you're refueled, right? With iman and hope. And Allah consoles you in the Quran. And then you have energy. And then during the day, you get up and you start doing your same thing. Sabbih and dhakkir. So Allah says, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. And remind if the reminder should benefit. So here, in nafa'at al-dhikra means multiple things. One of the things is that it will benefit. It will benefit. This reminder does benefit people. But it's a matter of time, right? Sometimes people take the benefit directly. Sometimes something you say clicks in the mind and then it clicks later on. You know, so the benefit does happen, but depending on the person's state. So remind for reminding benefits. And then Allah said, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. Allah's telling us who is going to benefit from the reminder. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. The one who fears will benefit. So here Allah is saying not everyone will benefit. The one who doesn't fear Allah, he won't benefit from the reminder. As for the one who fear, and here Allah didn't say fear Allah. He said, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. Just fear. Fear what? You fill in the blank. Allah, fear the day of judgment, fear your death, fear accountability, fear the angels that are recording you. There's many things. You fill in the blank. So this sense of fear, and yakhsha comes from khashya, which means to fear something that's overpowering you, something that's bigger than you. Okay, khashya. And so part of our iman is necessary for us to have this khashya. Remember I told you the example of the one who smokes cigarettes? What makes him put off the cigarette when he's smoking secretly in the bathroom? When he hears the garage opening and the parents coming in the house, right? Immediately he panics and he, you know, flushes the cigarette and the air freshener comes out. Why? Because of fear. The knowledge of cigarettes being harmful is of no use. It's not going to stop his bad habits. The only thing that stops him is fear. And this reminds me of a friend of mine who recently, subhanAllah, he never prayed, not even Jum'ah. Very recently, he got into a terrible, terrible accident that was a near-death experience for him. Okay, at one split second, and he would have been crushed between two cars. But alhamdulillah, he got saved with nothing happened to him. He walked out of the car with nothing. But he showed me the video of the crash. It was recorded on the surveillance cameras. And if you see that car, you'd be like, this guy's finished, yani. But Allah, what did He do to him in this experience? He gave him a small glimpse of fear, right? A big dose of fear, actually. That, wake up. This is a warning, yani. Okay? And so, alhamdulillah, he benefited from the warning, and mashallah, now he's, you know, that near-death experience, that fear was of benefit. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. You see how it's so real, this thing? That khashya is important for reminders. So sometimes, you know, we try to filter out the khashya ayat of the Quran. You know, a lot of, when I get invited to give talks, sometimes they tell me, don't talk about nar and death. You know, bichara, these are kids, yani. Go easy on them. You know, the thing is, the Quran is not filtering this stuff out, and I can't filter stuff that Quran doesn't filter out. And fear, of course, we're not saying just fear, 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 fear. There's a balance, right? Between love, fear, hope of Jannah, fear of the Day of Judgment. That's what Allah does. And so Allah knows. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ. Doesn't He know who created what's best for us? Why do we come up with our own curriculum and our own agenda? Let Allah speak. Let's use Allah's curriculum. So Allah's curriculum is balance between hope and fear. Okay? And so, وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. Who's going to reject and run away from the reminder? Now, subhanAllah, on one side we see someone who will benefit from this reminder, the one who fears, right? On the other side we see, وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. There's people who will run away from this reminder. When you talk about deen, they'll run away. They'll be like, this topic is too depressing for me, man. Can we change the topic? Or please get out of the car. I want to put some music on. You know, let's not talk about the Day of Judgment. Let's not talk about death, please. It's too depressing. It's too serious, Fahad. Can you change the topic, please? And so, this, unfortunately, Allah is saying, is shaqi. You know what al-ashqa means? From shaqi, which means someone who's unfortunate. Someone who's, like, his life is, you know, there's no fortune there. There's no, it's just filled with negativity. And the opposite of shaqi is sa'id. So on the one hand, you have someone who's happy, and on the other hand, you have someone who's wretched, someone who's depressed and sad, and his life is filled with problems. Okay? And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Whoever, you know, runs away from my remembrance, then we will make his life ضَنْكَ. ضَنْكَ means, from ضَنْك, which means your life will be a mess. Your life will be empty. There will be a void in your life and in your heart. You'll feel like something's missing. And we've talked about celebrities, right? singers and actors and musicians and athletes who have a lot of fame and money and power and beauty and everything. The big house and the Bentley and the Ferrari and everything. But yet, they're living in dhanka. They're living in dhank. Their life is dhank. It's deep inside their heart. There's no peace of mind. That's why they, you know, they revert to alcohol and drugs. Why? Because they can't face reality. Their life is so messed up. They want to live in the, they call it cloud nine, right? Or la la land, they call it. Yeah. They don't want to be in reality. And so some of them even commit suicide. It's just too much. This dhank is too much. This life of shaqa, you know, wretchedness, it becomes too much to handle. And so they give up. And so, وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا. Look at the word, يَتَجَنَّبُهَا. He goes out of his way to avoid dhikra. Goes, you know people like that? Who go out of their way to stay away from any sort of reminder of Allah. Any mention of Quran, any mention of ayat of Allah, any mention of deen and, you know, goodness. They run away. They don't want to be near this. So, then Allah says, الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى. He's telling us about this wretched person. الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى. يَصْلَى means he will actually throw himself in the fire. He himself, his body will submit. And because we know on that day, the body will speak on behalf of the human being, right? On the Day of Judgment. And so his body will admit and throw himself. Because the body won't be able to handle this. And so, الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. Very like scary ayat, right? Allah is talking about this ashqa, the one who is running away from dhikr. He will neither live nor die in this hellfire. His skin will be replaced. You know, he will be burnt and the skin will be replaced and then burnt and replaced. And so, فَيَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا, we learned in the previous surah, right? He will make dua, Ya Allah, please kill me with a very painful and disgusting type of sickness and disease. I don't want to face hellfire. Kill me before I reach the hellfire. That death is better for me than hellfire, because in hellfire there is no death. So, ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. And then lastly, we look at the third section of this surah, so we can wrap things up. Allah is saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. This is a beautiful ayah. قَدْ means it's a done deal. You know how the judge hits the hammer on the thing? Done deal, case closed. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. He has succeeded. فَلَاح comes from the root word فَلَحَ, which means to succeed in the Arabic language. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. The one who purifies himself. Let's talk about the word aflaha. Very, very interesting word. There's different other words in the Arabic language for success, like fawz or nasr. Okay, but Allah here specifically used the word aflaha, which also we learn from the word falah. The farmer is also known as the one who does filaha, right? The act of falaha. Now, is the farmer's job easy or difficult? Yeah, there's a lot of struggle there, right? And does he have to get his hands dirty? Yes. Does he sweat? Yes, he's outdoor. Does he get a monthly salary, the farmer? So what does he need? He needs patience. One of the qualities of a farmer that he waits for harvest. Harvest sometimes comes every 6 months, sometimes once a year, sometimes the whole year's harvest is destroyed by a storm, right? Qadar of Allah. So farmers have a lot of patience. And, you know, unfortunately, our lands here are not really that great for farming, but I recommend you to go fishing every now and then. It teaches you some patience, you know? You got to wait. And sometimes you go fishing 2-3 hours, come back with nothing. And yet you say, Alhamdulillah, you know? So Allah is saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Why did He use this word? He's telling us that, listen, you want success in this life, you got to work hard. You can't be lazy. Allah is talking about productivity here through the word aflaha. Success comes with productivity. A believer should be productive. He should be waking up early, staying up after fajr, you know, taking his qailula, working hard, and then balancing his roles with family, with work, with, you know, community service and giving back and spending time with children and his wife and his parents and everything, right? This is what a believer should be. So قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Now Allah is saying here that the one, who is the one who succeeded? What is the definition of success in our worldly sense? Who is considered successful? Look at someone and you say, wow, that guy is successful. What are the measures of success in our, in the worldly sense? Yeah, someone who has, you know, rich, like very expensive cars, we call him rich. Someone who has a big house with a swimming pool, we call him successful. Someone who maybe has a lot of children and his children have all studied from big schools and big universities, right? Successful. Someone who himself has educated, you know, and he has maybe gotten a degree from Harvard or, you know, MIT or Cambridge or Oxford, right or no? We call these people successful. Someone who has a very like distinguished position, like a doctor or a judge or a minister, right? Allah is saying here, قَدْ أَفْلَحَهُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. You want to be successful in the eyes of Allah? Purify yourself. Purify yourself. And purification here, just to give you an idea of how vast purification is, right? So there's many things in our life we need to purify. Number one, we need to purify our heart. Okay? Because if the heart is not purified, will the reminder make a difference? It won't make a difference. By the way, I forgot to mention, what is the Prophet commanded to remind us of? We forgot to mention this. You know, when you remind somebody, the question is, what do we remind them of? So what is the reminder here? Number one, purification. Remember to purify yourself. Because what's the society going to do to us? It's going to pollute and corrupt us. Okay? And so remember to purify yourself. And you know, interestingly, earlier I forgot to also mention, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Or previously Allah said, فَذَكِّرْ. Right? In نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. Allah didn't say, فَذَكِّرْ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. What did he say? Remind only. Remind who? It's not mentioned. So remind anybody. Anybody can benefit from the reminder, not just for believers. Non-believers, atheists, enemies, hypocrites, Fir'aun. Remember we saw in the previous surahs? Musa was sent to Fir'aun. هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. Allah told Musa, tell him, invite him to purify himself. Who is he inviting to purify? Fir'aun, the most messed up person in the Quran. Allah says there is hope for Fir'aun to also purify himself. Don't judge people, we're learning here. Don't say, no, this guy, no need to remind him, man. There's no way, he's not going to benefit from the reminder. This guy, no need to remind him of purification. He's corrupted. Khalas, game over for him. You know, he has ticket. His ticket to Jahannam is reserved already. You know? So Allah's teaching us here, don't judge. Anyone can, and it's, this tazkiyah is open for anybody. And so tazkiyah of the heart, remember this, okay? Tazkiyah of the heart. That's the core. And then tazkiyah of the mind. Because without tazkiyah of the mind, will we be able to think properly? Will we be able to reflect properly? No. So that's what the Quran does. It purifies the heart and it purifies the mind. And then once your heart and your mind is purified, does it stop there, by the way? Is the objective purification? This is a quiz question. Is the objective purification, brothers and sisters? The objective is not purification. Purification is only the means. After you purify, it's time for work then. It's time for purifying your family. It's time to purify your community, your neighborhood, your society, your company, the organization you work in. Then you gotta spread this purification. And you know, there's this concept in Arabic which is called التخلية قبل التحلية. Okay? Purification before beautification. Okay? Now, to give you a simple example, you just went, you played a soccer match. You're sweating like crazy, you're stinking and all that, right? What's the next thing you're going to do when you go home? You're going to take a shower. That's purification, okay? That's step one, purification. After you purify yourself, are you going to walk out naked and say, Alhamdulillah, I'm pure now? What are you going to do next? You're going to go out with your wife on a nice romantic dinner. What are you going to do? You're going to put on clothes. Are they going to be dirty or clean? Clean clothes, iron clothes. You're going to put some cologne on, some perfume. Beautification. Does it make sense for me to come from the soccer match in my sweat, in my stinking body, to wear nice clothes and go out on a date with my wife? She's going to run away from me, right? Why? Because I forgot to do what? Purification. So purify and then beautify. So the goal is not purification. Purification is only the means for us to beautify ourselves and then the people around us. This is what this deen is for. Okay? A lot of people, unfortunately, they get the wrong impression. For them, life becomes only Quran and dua and salah and dhikr. And they, you know, spend their life in the mountains, secluded from society. Allah, 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 Allah. They think the goal is purification. They got it wrong. They're happy with purification, khalas. They forget society and they forget to purify others and to do the work. You see how the Quran is teaching us? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَّرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Okay, we're coming to the conclusion now. And the one who also succeeded, we learned the one who did tazkiyah, right? Now Allah's saying, and who else succeeded? وَذَكَّرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. So after you purify, now you remember the name of your master and you pray. وَذَكَّرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. This is also very beautiful. Now we're learning here, you know, صَلَّى comes from the root words to connect. Salah is primarily a connection between us and who? Between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, that's the ultimate purification. Because we learned earlier, I told you about the ruh, right? Ruh came from where? Ruh came from Allah, and it wants to connect with Allah. This is part of our body. We are living in times where we're concerned about taking care of the body only, right? We eat, we drink, we want to get married, satisfy our bodily desires only. We take showers and brush our teeth and comb our hair, right? We take care of our external bodily needs. What about the spiritual need of the ruh? How do we take care of that? Through the remembrance of Allah. And the ultimate remembrance of Allah, listen to this carefully, the ultimate remembrance of Allah is salah. Because in salah, you're connected to Allah and you're reading Quran, which is also the word of Allah. You see? So, وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And here, just a small tip for khushu'. You know khushu'? In another place in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The believers have attained success. What's their first quality? Those who are in khushu' in their salah. They have quality salah. What are we concerned about, unfortunately, nowadays? Quantity. The debate starts, right? 8 rak'ah or 20 rak'ah. Right or no? And so, Allah's concerned with quality. So a tip for quality salah, Allah is telling us, وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. You know what this means? Before you pray, remember the name of your master. Remember the name of your master, which is Rabb, right? Remember him before you say Allahu Akbar. Why? Because when you remember the name of your master, you are preparing yourself for salah. What do? We just make wudu and Allahu Akbar. We don't even think before we say Allahu Akbar. Allah is saying stop, think, remember the name of your master, remind yourself that you're about to pray and who you're going to be standing in front of, and live that moment, like be present. Don't just jump into salah. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Then he prayed. And you know, we learn from another surah, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. When you are empty, فَرَغْتَ means from فَرَغْ. When you empty all the things in your mind, all the thoughts in your mind, empty, clear everything out, then فَانْصَبْ, then stand in prayer. Because if you stand in prayer with a lot of things in your mind, where is your mind going to be during salah? It's going to be in WhatsApp and Facebook and YouTube and work and paying the bills, right? And watching the cricket match and the, you know, Hollywood movie and the Bollywood movie. Your mind is going to be filled. You won't be able to have khushu'. فَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ
فَصَلَّى.
Then Allah says in conclusion, a reminder for the Day of Judgment. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You human beings, you favor dunya. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. But in fact, the akhirah is better. It's better and it's more lasting. Let's conclude with these two ayat and we, inshallah, wrap it up then. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. This is like the concluding lesson here. Allah is telling us that we favor dunya over akhirah. Okay? And the word تُؤْثِرُونَ means that when you compare two things and you prefer one over the other. You give one priority over the other. And Allah called it الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You know why dunya? Dunya comes from the root word dunu in Arabic, which means something that is low. Daniya. You know, Allah says قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَا. In Jannah, the fruits will be lowered to you. You don't have to go and pick them. They will come to you. You want to have a mango, it's going to come to you. Dunu. So Allah is saying this world is daniya. It's low, man. It's low. Aim higher, yaqi. You're just aiming for dunya, the lowest thing. And dunya also means something that's nearby. You know what? Why hayat al-dunya is called dunya, from nearby? Because we want instant satisfaction. In the age of Instagram, instant messaging, instant satisfaction. Right? We want results now, now, now. I can't wait for Jannah. I can't wait for Hur al-Ain. I want now. I want to go on YouTube now and watch that filthy, shameless movie now to satisfy my desires. I can't wait for Hur al-Ain. I can't wait for Sharab min Tasneem. You know, the drink from Tasneem, remember? Khitamuhu Misk. And Allah says, compete in that. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافِسَ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. No, the one who loves dunya says, no, no, no. Those drinks, man, I don't know. I'll go to the bar now. It's right here. Why should I wait for that? And so Allah is saying, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You favor this dunya. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. And the akhirah, خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. This is so beautiful also. خَيْرٌ means better. Okay? So Allah on the one side is saying that akhirah is better than dunya. So the drinks of akhirah will be better than the drinks of dunya. The women of akhirah will be better than the women of dunya. The mango of akhirah will be better than the mango of dunya. Right or no? Okay? Your wife of akhirah will be better than the wife of dunya. She'll be more good looking. And they say in the hadith that every glance you look at your wife will be better. She'll look prettier than the glance before. You'll never get bored. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ. It's better. وَأَبْقَى. What does abqa mean? More lasting. More lasting. There's no end to it. Dunya comes to an end. How many years are we going to live? 70, 80, 90, 100 years max? Akhirah. Look, Allah is giving us a deal. You want something low, dunya, that's temporary, with low quality? Or you want akhirah, which is amazing quality and it's everlasting? Right? To give you an example to make this real, imagine someone gives you an offer, okay? Either you own this small apartment, okay, you own it for life, or I give you a 5-star room in Burj Al Arab for 2 nights. Which one would you choose? How many of you would choose Burj Al Arab 2 nights? Yeah? Most of you would choose that small apartment. That's lifelong. Why? Why do we settle for that? Because it's abqa, right? Even though I told you it's low quality. Allah is saying, not only is it abqa, it is superior quality. It's khayrun wa abqa. This is the deal Allah is making for us. And so, إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى. This lesson about akhirah being better than dunya, this lesson, إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى. This is the same lesson that was mentioned in the previous scriptures. This is the same message. This is the bottom line message. If you want to summarize the entire message of Islam and the entire message of all religions of the past, all the prophets of the past, all the books of the past, what's the message? وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. That's it. That's what the Prophet was reminding the people of. Remember, فَذَكِّرْ. What's he reminding them? الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Someone stealing, يَا أَخِي الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Someone's committing zina, يَا أَخِي الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. You see how this ayah solves all the problems of our life? If we live by it. Someone loses a job, الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Someone's business goes bankrupt, الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Someone's trying to find someone to get married to, can't find her. الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Right? And then Allah says, إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. The books of Ibrahim and Musa. Why Ibrahim and Musa out of all the prophets? Because the primary two audiences of the Prophet ﷺ were Quraysh and the people of the book later on, right? Who did Quraysh relate to? Ibrahim alayhi salam. They knew Ibrahim alayhi salam because of Mecca and the Kaaba. So Suhufi Ibrahim, this is for Quraysh. They can relate to it. And why Musa? Because the people of the book, they're the people of the scriptures, right? They acknowledge Musa alayhi salam in the message. So here we're learning another da'wah technique. When you invite people to Islam, use relevant examples. Don't talk about irrelevant examples. Allah here is telling that, you know, Quraysh and the people of the scriptures, this is the same message that Ibrahim and Musa came with. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. The simplicity of tazkiyah, you know, remind. That's what all our life is. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people who at night do tasbih and in the day remind. Remind who? Ourselves through salah, and then remind our families. Because Allah said, قُوْ يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourself and your family from the hellfire. And so we, you know, become people of tasbih and tazkir, and at the same time people who purify ourselves to tazkiyah, and at the same time people who favor akhirah over dunya, and we remind everyone around us of the same. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Jazakumullahu khayran. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. نستغفركم ونتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.